League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
It's extra time.
He shoots, and it's a goal!
Hello and welcome back to the Sunday Vibes Extra Time podcast. This week, it's me, Patrick Van Straten. I'm joined by Doogie Critchley and Joe Tomlinson, as usual. And today, we are looking at the Premier League team of the decade as we are approaching the end of the decade. So, should we get straight into it, guys?
Let's do it.
Yes.
Okay, so as we all know, we're doing the team of the decade, but we do have some established names, some sort of unarguable features in this list. And we're starting with the goalkeeper, because we've all agreed that David De Gea should definitely be in it. And I can hear some people already saying, you know, Petr Cech, maybe some deluded people might suggest Courtois.
But, shut up.
But that's for us, nonsense.
Well, I can't actually think. Who else would they maybe
Joe
suggest?
Hart, maybe a couple suggestions
in
there
the early part of the decade.
Fabianski.
Wow.
Who is there?
There's a few people will be saying Petr Cech. I saw a few Premier League team in the decades going around online, on Twitter in particular, and a lot of them featured Petr Cech. But I personally feel like his decline was so drastic that
I feel like
he
after
doesn't
2012, that it was quite steep. And particularly a spell at Arsenal just wasn't anywhere near his Chelsea peak. Whereas De Gea, bar his first season and his last year and 18 months or so, I think he's been the standout keeper in that whole period, which must be about 6 years. So I think it's pretty unarguable, really.
Yeah, I think De Gea is actually in with a shout for world goalkeeper of the last decade. I think that this is easy. I think he walked
100%.
Straight in.
He will, by the end of this season, be Manchester United's, well, of modern times, most capped goalkeeper, overtake Schmeichel.
Really?
He's already ahead of Van der Sar by a comfortable distance. And it's, yeah, just totally, totally warranted. Five-time PFA team of the era. Nobody comes close to that.
And also,
any of this players in our list.
One of the things in Cech's favour, right, is like his longevity in the Premier League. But he joined in, what, 2004? And then he retired at the end of this last season. So that's a 15-year career. Like, De Gea's not actually all that... Unless he leaves...
Which he's not doing now because he signed a contract.
Well, exactly. Like, so unless there's a buyout or something.
Yeah.
Like,
28 years old he is now.
You imagine he'll basically match that, right?
I think he'll probably finish his career at Man United unless he ends up going back to Atleti at like 32 or something like that.
Yeah.
When he eventually leaves.
Also, we've got to give him a lot of sympathy as well. I mean, last 5 years at Man United can't have been a lot of fun.
He's held the ship together.
The player in this 11 that I feel most sorry for.
He's held the ship together.
Do you reckon it's more boring standing at the back of the field doing nothing or... more boring being in a team where you're constantly working hard but never winning anything?
I think as a professional you'd want to win, but I see your point that he's constantly like in action.
He wouldn't have had as great a season though, not last season, the one before, if it weren't for the fact that Man United were a bit rubbish that year.
But equally, that was arguably one of the greatest seasons of a goalkeeper of all time.
Yeah, that was like a messy season as a keeper.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't know.
I looked at the numbers of that today and United had... an XG against a 43 and only conceded 28.
Bloody
yeah.
Wow.
And there was one particular game. Was that the Arsenal season when he saved
the
about 32
plus.
Saves?
Yeah, well, I think XG said it was like 5-2 to Arsenal and we lost 3-1.
Yeah.
And I can't believe we even scored one.
That was a freakish game. That was the one with the boot as well. But let's go into right back.
Okay.
Joe, who are you bringing to the table as your right back?
I think
back?
Me and Pato may have picked the same name here.
Though this is, I'd say this is one of the most controversial
I think
places
fair back,
to start.
Fair stop is quite
very
difficult.
Hard to pick fullbacks, both of them. My right back, I've gone for Kyle Walker. I heard a lot of people saying Pablo Zabaleta on there, which I believe you may have
gone with in
the end. Azpilicueta was getting banned around in the right back slot as well, which we may come onto a little bit later. But Kyle Walker, for me... just had to be in there. He's got the most PFA team of the years of any fullback of the last decade. And that's only three. He's only been in there three times. Surprisingly, the first one was actually 2011 when he was the Premier League's young player of the season.
That's mental, that happened.
Yeah, Tottenham Hotspur. So I think just because of his transition from what was a very raw talent into... an incredibly well-rounded fullback, particularly last season, and or was it the season before, maybe, under Pep Guardiola, I think he probably just gets in, just gets in ahead of Zabaleta for me. I think Ivanovic was also close in my mind here, but I don't know about you, Pato. I think has he got two Premier League titles?
Yeah, he has.
I think he'll probably maybe get a third this season if Liverpool eventually fall away. But yeah, I just think his ability at Spurs and then making the step up under Pep Guardiola has just been incredible. And he'll probably keep going for another 3 or 4 years, despite the fact João Cancelo's come into the team.
Yeah.
As a backup, maybe.
He'll be something else.
He'll be phased out eventually, but he'll be made into a centre-back maybe or something like that.
And he probably deserves credit for that as well. Like he has played centre-back. He has tucked into midfield under Pep. He's done all that pretty well. And also, I mean, even leaving aside just the City stuff, and I think you have to give players deserve credit for the titles they've won, but they also deserve credit for how they won those titles. And like he's been in the best, maybe the best team of the Premier League era, you know, like the last couple of seasons. Plus, actually, Spurs were a really elite defensive team in the middle of this decade, right? 15, 16, 16, 17. I think they conceded 35 in one season and 26 in the other.
Wow.
And he played in both those sides. So he's been part of an elite defence for over half a decade.
Yeah, I also looked at his tackle and interceptions numbers at Tottenham. He was averaging across 6 seasons, 2010 to 2016 at Spurs, 4.4 tackles and interceptions a game.
Nice.
And then when he moved to City, that dropped to around 2, and his pass average went up to 70. Since he's been at City, he's averaging 70 passes a game. That's from massive, right back, which he's just incredibly influential, particularly in that first season under Pep. Was it second season under Pep, when the fullbacks started to tuck in a bit more central and he kind of adapted and played a mixture of a back three and as a wing back.
Some of the critics will say that last year was his worst for quite a while, in even going back to Spurs for a while.
Of course, but then
now they've had to sign a player to directly rival him, add some competition, when they could have really strengthened at centre-back, as we've seen over the last few weeks. They probably should have strengthened at centre-back. Instead, they decided to bring in João Cancelo. Maybe it was more the case of they knew João Cancelo was available, so they just thought, why don't we get him in while we can? But I think he might end the decade potentially in some of the worst form of his decade.
But do you not think 8 seasons at the very top as the best fullback in the league, potentially...
I think
one of the best fullbacks in the league for 8 consecutive seasons.
I just think
it.
You can make a better case for Zabaleta.
Because if we're talking about Zabaleta, he's currently playing at West Ham.
Yeah, Zabaleta's
exactly.
ended.
Exactly.
In
but
fact,
he's a
in
lot
fact,
older.
He got to the middle of the decade in the worst form of his career, and it's got worse every year after that.
I mean, he's got a pretty phenomenal like Premier League record, even including 64 appearances for West Ham. So during his whole time in the Premier League, he's averaged 5.1 tackles and interceptions per 90. He's... 3.2 clearances a game, 59% aerial duel win rate. He's kept a clean sheet in 30% of the games he's played, which for a fullback is pretty impressive. I was trying to find rivals for that. Antonio Valencia was just under that. I think Kyle Walker was around the same. The one downside of Zabaleta is probably not the best going forward, or at least not the most attacking. He's only got 21 assists in that time, an assist every 14 games, which considering Trent got, I think it was 14 last year, does show his limitations. Only ever provided more than 2 assists in 2 seasons. But his best year, that went up to 6 assists in 13-14 when City won the league under Pellegrini. And he was absolutely awesome all campaign. 5.5 tackles and interceptions, nearly a key pass, 85% pass accuracy, 48 passes a game. And he's gone to West Ham at the tail end of his career. And he kept Ryan Fredericks out of the side last year. I'm not saying that he should be included in this team because of his performances at West Ham. They've obviously been a massive downgrade on a City career. But I just think as part of the players alongside the likes of Kompany, Shea Given, Bellamy, Wainbridge, that made Man City in the early part of this decade turn into the side that could then attract the likes of Aguero, David Silva, Yaya Toure, etc. They set the benchmark and turned City from a very average side. I think they were 10th when he joined, into consistently in the top 4 throughout his time. And I just think he's done it at a top club for longer than Kyle Walker, and I'd say his peak was probably better than Kyle Walker's.
So, that's a controversial one. His peak was better than Kyle Walker's.
That's a big claim. And I would say how has he done it for a longer time, given that Kyle Walker's done it for this entire decade?
Oh, there goes Siri. He's kicking up a fuss.
Walker's been at a top side like pretty much the entire decade.
So is Zabaleta up until the last two, though. And I'd say
yeah, but that's what I'm saying. That two's
but it shouldn't
like
be held against. It shouldn't be held against him that he's what 4 years older, 2 years older.
Well, it has to be held against him here because you're looking at both quantity and quality of performance over the course of the decade, and so it is a disadvantage if you're if you've, you know, kind of hit maybe 33 in the middle of the decade. But that's just the way it works. You know, if we were looking at the best team between 2005 and 2015, I think probably, actually, I don't know, then you've got people like Bakary Sanyan, you do have people like Valencia. But definitely, like, I think he'd be probably a shoo-in for that 11. Like, with this, I just think the last few years take him down enough. We're talking about Kyle Walker ending the decade in the worst form for a while. He's still playing for a team that is second in the league and have a really good shot still at winning the title and potentially the Champions League.
And when it's
not that bad.
And when he first broke into this decade, that 2000, well, after a couple of seasons, so we're looking at that sort of 2011, he was like young player.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
The year ahead of Gareth Bale in that early sort of part.
I just
decade.
Think people are sort of forgetting
he was
how
fantastic.
Good Zabaleta
he
was.
I mean, fantastic.
As a defender, he was awesome. I think it's 5.1 tackles and interceptions he averaged for 3 years in a row, which I don't think Kyle Walker's ever got close to.
But I think that's because Kyle Walker hasn't had to, because Pep's team is so much more dominant on the ball than a Pellegrini or a Mancini team ever was.
If you he doesn't have to put that up. Probably like,
I think if you look at Kyle Walker, he's been part of a better Manchester City team than Zabaleta ever was. I think.
But should that be held against Zabaleta, or should we say, well,
I think
done,
he's
Zabaleta,
reached,
you're a crucial
I think
part
he's
of
reached
side.
Higher individual heights than Zabaleta ever did. That would be my opinion. I know that you would you prefer Kyle Walker or Pablo Zabaleta at their peak in your team?
At their peak in which side? Because I think Kyle Walker works perfectly for Pep Guardiola. Any side, I'd probably go with Kyle Walker, but I feel like Pablo Zabaleta had the better decade. I know it doesn't quite make sense, but I just think he had a better impact on a worse City team. Kyle Walker, it's difficult to really judge individual players in this City team at times because you just don't know whether...
But he was the best fullback in the Premier League at Tottenham.
Like they paid 50
it has
mil
been a very weak decade for fullbacks.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Like the fact that we're looking at the likes of Branislav Ivanovic for this, I was like,
pfft. I don't think it's been a weak decade for fullbacks. I think it's been there are very few fullbacks who've seen out like enough of the decade. Like there have been loads of good fullbacks in the Prem over the last decade, but most of them have been like, you know. So for instance, if we were doing this if the decade had kind of started 5 years later, then like I'm sure that there would be guys like Trent and there'd be guys like Robertson or even who knows, you know, Bellerin and people like that are possibles. Like, whereas right now you just think, okay, well, they're too early on in their career. Like, I think there are loads of exciting fullbacks, but to stay in one place for a decade and be a good fullback at the beginning of a decade and a good fullback at the end is crazy given the physical demands of that role.
I'm willing to see Kyle Walker, but I'm a bit cross.
He's a bit angry. It's a very tight one.
I feel like somebody needed to make the case for Zabaleta.
I also had Zabaleta before I crossed him out because then I realised Kyle Walker was better. The next position, I guess, is another one of our shoe-ins, isn't it?
Yes.
Guaranteed to be in there. We all agree Vincent Kompany has to make the grade. Anybody got anything to add about Vincent Kompany that hasn't been said already? Because
there's nothing really to add. I mean, he was, when fit, the best defender of the decade by quite a distance, I would argue, in terms of consistency, crucial goals at crucial times, what a leader, you know, probably did more to create the City culture that is currently pervading than anyone else. I think probably one of the players of the decade, let alone one of the
centre-backs. Yeah,
totally. Pretty much universally loved. Yeah, and you are right about, like, when he scored, it would always be a valuable time. Like, even last season, that goal against Leicester. And then, you know, he'd
score... The amount of times he scored that against United.
Exactly. And then you just think... I remember him having one of the best games I've seen from a centre-back where I think City beat United 4-1, I want to say, something like that. And he's just... I don't know. He's just impossible not to like Kompany.
I think Vincent Kompany. But there will be some debate about his partner.
This is difficult.
Very difficult. A lot of strong candidates. I want to address, firstly, some people... at home on Twitter, have Virgil van Dijk in there. Now, none of us have brought Virgil van Dijk to the table, and I think the simple reason is he hasn't done it for long enough. If he had have sustained it for 5 seasons or 6 seasons, then we would be in agreement, yes.
Although I don't rule out like truly exceptional performances, because one of my candidates later comes in very much at the end of the decade and I think deserves a slot in it. But I think Virgil van Dijk could be included on the basis of his exceptional performances. I actually just think there's a clear candidate that's more consistent for longer and better for longer.
And also Van Dijk, there's a tendency when a player becomes really, really, really amazing to pretend they were always that good. And Van Dijk did have big flaws in his game at Southampton that they've ironed out. Like, he was still a very good player, but stuff needed to be sorted out in his game. And even at the start of this season, I don't think he's been as good as he was last year.
No, Joel Matip's played better than him.
Yeah, so I mean, don't get me wrong, he's still excellent, but you're absolutely right. Like, he needed a couple more years for serious consideration.
So Liverpool fans, let us know your thought about that on Twitter. anyway, right, dudes, you may as well kick us off, because I've got the same name as you down.
Yeah, I've gone JT, John Terry. Some will say, what, doesn't really count for this decade, but he does. 220 or 44% of his Premier League appearances came after 2009-10, including 2009-10, I should say. Five consecutive years of playing over 30 Premier League games, won three of his five Premier League medals.
I don't think you can count 2009-10.
Why? Really?
Because it's not part of the decade. It's not part of these.
Half of it was the decade.
It's not the... No, that's not how it works. I think it counts as these 10 seasons.
Isn't it? Yeah, but that is one of them, isn't it?
No, this is the 10th and the first would have been 10, 11. Okay, fine. Okay. If you're going like actual like calendar year, fair enough. Okay.
I did calendar year.
I've gone calendar year.
I'll take that. But then I do think that's an advantage to the Chelsea players, given that they had such an insane 9-10.
Yeah, definitely. True. I mean, Terry in particular, had an insane campaign by himself. 4.2 tackles and interceptions that year. Won 65% of his aerial duels, 87% pass accuracy. I'm not going to go season on season, but that was pretty much consistent for the first three years.
That team was awesome as well, the Ancelotti.
Yeah, it was unbelievable.
He was also a regular goal scorer in this period too. So he scored 22 goals in the first 6 years of this decade. Company scored 10 in the same period. Chelsea were already, you know, always pretty consistent despite going through 9 managers. They only finished outside of the top 4 on 3 occasions. 6th under AVB and Di Matteo in 2012, 10th under Mourinho and 5th under Conte in his second season. Terry was a constant throughout. 14-15 was another awesome campaign for him. They finished the second under Mourinho when they won the title. Terry, alongside Branislav Ivanovic, played every single minute, and he must have been good old 33 or so by then. Chelsea only lost 3 games, conceded 32 goals, which was the league best, which actually really isn't that good compared to what some, you know, Man City and Liverpool have put up.
But still
up the
pretty
last
impressive. 32
still
goals
pretty
conceded.
Impressive.
This is fantastic.
Second fewest goals conceded that year, Southampton, weirdly, under Ronald Koeman. Throwback to Ronald Koeman being good
the season
manager.
Before that, they only conceded 27.
Southampton?
Chelsea as well. So, like, they were consistently outrageous at the back.
And I talked about Zabaleta's clean sheet record, keeping about 30% of his games kept a clean sheet. Terry, 43% clean sheet record. 214 Premier League clean sheets in total. For a bit of comparison, Company kept 94, Tony Adams 115. Obviously, they had shorter careers in the Premier League. But Rio Ferdinand played 12 more games than him, and he kept 189. So a good 25 or so fewer. Petr Cech has the most clean sheets in Premier League history for a goalkeeper, or any for a goalkeeper with 161. John Terry kept nearly 50 more clean sheets than Petr Cech. Like, the guy deserves not just to be in the Premier League team of the decade of the previous decade, but this one, in my opinion.
Yeah, I've also gone for John Terry. 3 Premier League titles, obviously, in this period. Not even really talking about the Champions League and stuff, obviously, because it's Premier League focused, but obviously a Champions League winner as well. And I think that his leadership skills, much like Kompany's, go slightly under the radar how important he was to that Chelsea dressing room, because it really did start to fall apart around Chelsea when he started to be phased out. Yeah, I just think John Terry has to be in there ahead of the likes of Van Dijk and other people like Nemanja Vidic. Nemanja Vidic was also a potential shout in this situation, but I think he only, what did he leave, 13, 14, I think, at Man United. So there's only really 3 seasons in this decade, so it would have been unfair to include him. And the name you've got, Pato, he's a bit of a left-field shout, in my opinion.
He is a bit rogue. I've gone for Jan Vertonghen. Ooh. I did consider Terry. But I think when you look at Terry's numbers, it's a little bit difficult to justify putting him in.
It's only really half a decade. There's only 5 seasons in there as well.
In fact, it's slightly less than half a decade. So if you look at his number of appearances just in the Premier League, like, I'm going from 2010-11, I've got 33, 31, 14.
Yeah, big injury problems.
34, 38.
Yeah, he played
which
every
was
minute
crazy,
of that
the
season.
14,
yeah.
15 season. But then 24 and then 9.
Yeah.
So what I'm looking at there is like four seasons of regular football, really, plus like basically another season overall if you add the rest together. So like about five seasons.
Yeah. He fell out with AVB, didn't he? And he also... Yeah. Was phased out by Conte.
He also got a bit of an injury problem towards the back end of his career pre-Villa, didn't he?
Yeah, so I think my issue here is not so much like him not deserving it on the basis of his quality, but potentially the quantity performance here. And Jan Vertonghen joined Spurs in 2012 for 11 mil, which I think we can agree is quite a good price.
Not bad.
He's made over 200 league appearances since. And at the beginning, they were pretty rough. You know, there was the whole like transition from Redknapp through AVB, through Sherwood, and then into Pochettino. But since Pochettino has been there, he's been a key component in Spurs' best defence in more than 20 years. Like, they had one of the toughest defences in the division, like, in the middle of this decade. They conceded... These are how many they conceded in the league in four consecutive seasons. 35, 26, that was the best defence of the league, 36, and then 39. So they conceded... well under a goal a game across those four seasons combined, which is pretty impressive. And Vertonghen, I think he's an underrated passer. He was pretty quick at his peak as well, always aerially dominant, won about 70% of his aerial duels, pretty active defensively, over four tackles and interceptions a game. Also in that time, in 220 appearances, I've got 35 yellows and one red, which... it's pretty good.
That is really
like
good.
When you're an active defender like that, to be getting a card basically every seven games is like pretty impressive stuff, or close to every six, I suppose. And his the worst points tally that Spurs have had since he's been there was 64, and that was a total that Spurs only exceeded twice in the 20 years before he arrived. So I'm not saying this is all down to him, but I'm saying that his being there has coincided with Spurs going from being essentially a glorified mid-table side into a regular Champions League team. And not only a Champions League team, but a team which was capable of getting to the final of the Champions League. And now, Spurs are a team who can beat any team in Europe. Like, if Spurs beat...
Not the moment, right now.
Probably. Well, not right now, but like 6 months ago.
No, definitely.
Like, Spurs have basically shown they can compete with any team in Europe. Oh, shit. I accidentally hit the mic there. under Pochettino. And
but
I
do
feel
you
like,
think, though, do you think that in the same way JT had four outstanding seasons at the start, Vertonghen's only really had four outstanding seasons at the back end?
Yeah, probably. And I can totally as well see the argument that Terry's were at a higher level, but I also think Terry always had better protection than Vertonghen did. So don't get me wrong, Pochettino's side, I think, are often mischaracterised as being like quite attacking, and I don't think they are. Like, I think that their strength has always been defensive up until now, really. But Vertonghen is always required to cover way more of the field. Like, the fullbacks get on more. He's always required to pull out into the wide areas. He's played in a three and in a four.
And he's a left back as well.
Yeah, and he's incredibly good at covering that ground and defending one-on-one, despite the fact that he's now well into his 30s. Terry, to me, we can talk about how many clean sheets he got, but I feel like what we're really saying is Chelsea were an elite defensive unit for the last 15 years. And that's basically been true that entire time.
But then if you're
time.
The bedrock of it and the best defensive player in that team, then I don't think that should be held against him. And also... it's a bit boring to just level this at Spurs as well, but like, show us your medals. Seriously, like, John Terry, numerous like key performances at the latter stages of seasons. Jan Vertonghen, what's the most he's ever finished? I think they finished second once, which shouldn't be held against them because they've got a different budget, they've been under different constraints, but I just feel like we can't really leave Terry out.
Nah, I mean, I'm not really.
Tight one.
I'm not super wedded to Vertonghen. It's just that I think that...
I'm surprised you didn't bring Koscielny to the table, I'll be honest.
It was too painful a divorce.
I feel like Koscielny does probably deserve a shout in that he played in by far the most chaotic defensive structure of probably any quality centre-back over the last 10 years and was very good. And when he wasn't there, it pretty much fell apart.
Totally fell apart.
Plus, you know, you forget that around like 14, 15, 15, 16, Arsenal conceded under a goal a game in the league. With him partnering Mertesacker at the back.
And Wenger's defensive structure had gone out the window.
Yeah, and there was no defensive midfielder. I do think Koscielny deserves a bit of a shout, but I mean... it's difficult. He was injured a lot,
and they were still like a pretty defensively poor side. Like they didn't sustain it for anywhere near as long as say Spurs did, and even Arsenal at their best defensively were not as good as Spurs. So I decided, plus Vertonghen's been there for the whole time and has basically been a top level centre back the whole time.
Oh, he's been awesome. I think he's been comfortably, you know, Spurs is probably second most crucial player over that whole period over after Christian Eriksen, but I'd just say John Terry for me.
John Terry for
I
me.
I think Louise deserves a shout as well, actually.
If he hadn't have left, but I think those two seasons in Paris hinder him.
I think he was super underrated in his first spell at Chelsea, and I think when he came back and he played under Conte, he was incredible in the centre of that back three. And I feel like he's a guy who's always been a little bit misunderstood by the English press. So I would like to give Louise a shout out. Probably Cahill deserves one as well, actually.
Yeah,
one of the
too
most
bad.
Underrated players of the decade, I think, definitely. Although I put that in a WhatsApp group yesterday and got shouted at.
Maybe we should chuck one of those in at the end.
So we're going JT for other centre back.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah.
Right, okay, let's move on to left back. Has anybody got anybody who's not Cesar Azpilicueta down?
No.
We've all got Cesar Azpilicueta. Yeah, we should have put him as a shoe on. Right, who wants to talk about Cesar then?
I'll briefly talk about it.
Just so consistent, isn't it?
Yeah, ultra consistent. Got to go down as one of the bargains of the century.
How much did he cost?
€7 million.
Yeah.
In August 2012.
He's missed two games since 2015 in the league.
It's absolutely mental. Four full seasons and a bit, he's missed two games. He could play right back, left back, centre back, but played really well at left back under Benitez, and then was it Mourinho as well, I think. Not the best going forward. He's only laid on 15 assists in the last three seasons, but it's not really part of his game.
He did get six in that one year, though, under Conte, when he was playing centre back.
Those arrowed balls
into Morata.
Beautiful.
Yeah, they were outrageous, weren't they? That was unstoppable, that combination.
And he's 5'10 as well. And yet he's still been... And I feel like
he's pretty solid in the air for somebody who's 5'10".
Yeah, he's got like 60% aerial wins. And you think like that does show that intelligence is a really important factor. You know, like I feel like players like him help just move out of an era where everyone thought that fullbacks had to look like Branislav Ivanovic.
Yeah,
you know, massive guys.
I totally agree. And like I was looking at his injury record at Chelsea, it's spotless. Like he hasn't had a single injury that's of note. And this is given that he ruptured his ACL at Marseille.
Yeah.
Where I think he missed over like nearly a year of football. So the comeback has been monstrous. Nobody who snaps an ACL doesn't pick up any more other injuries. Only
he's been the bedrock, well, not the bedrock necessarily, but a key member of the defence under two of the probably best defensive managers of the century in Mourinho and Conte.
Yeah.
Just absolutely incredible. His tackles never dropped below 2.2 per 90 in eight campaigns in London. Only in the last 2 years have his interceptions dropped below 1.5. I just think he's a class player.
I think he's
a really classy bloke as well.
I think he's won the Chelsea Player of the Year as well, hasn't he, since he's been here. And there's not many other options, really.
That was weird. Yeah, Leighton Baines maybe.
Leighton Baines was a shout, but didn't really do enough towards the last few
years
for me. And also, I saw a few people sort of levelling, like Patrice Evra and stuff, but I just don't think they did it for long enough at the start. They did it at the start of the decade, but nowhere.
Likewise with Ashley Cole as
Ashley Cole the same. So yeah. I think Azpilicueta is the only mainstay, and people might moan at us that he's not a left back. He did play left back. So
I'd say he's played more left back than right back in that time. That it feels like that's the
maybe.
Case. Also, do you remember when they bought Felipe Luis for like 20 mil after he won the league with Atletico Madrid?
Yeah,
and he couldn't get in the side because Azpilicueta
couldn't get a game. And also, awesome. I think people quickly realised, let's stop buying players from the Atletico defence because unless they're playing under Simeone, they're rubbish. all right. Defensive midfielder. We've got some slightly different formations going on here as well, haven't we? Me and Pat have kind of gone for a 4-3-3 feel, I guess, Pat?
Somewhere between that and a 4-2-3.
Whereas you've
really
gone for
I've gone old school. I'm playing 4-4-2.
You've gone for a 4-4-2. Two classic frontmen, two wide men. So are we going to have to decide on a formation here?
I think we can sort of...
It depends how fluid you are. Because if you've gone for 4-4-2, then I feel like you can't reasonably have a certain player in here.
Well, I don't know who you're talking about.
If you've gone for that formation, well, okay, we will see.
Okay, so one of the centimeters is guaranteed N'Golo Kanté.
Has to be,
yes.
Has to be N'Golo Kanté. There's no debate, is there?
No.
I mean, anybody who can win a Premier League title with Leicester and then the season after win it with Chelsea has to be in this. I mean, I looked at his stats at Leicester first season. You know, he threw up 8.9 tackles and interceptions per 90 across the whole campaign. How is that possible? Wilfred Ndidi, to be fair, has done 8.4 so far this season.
He's absolutely lethal.
But 8.9, and then first season at Chelsea, 6. Second season at Chelsea, 6.2. Just outrageous. And he's never injured either, is he? He's gone 37, 35, 34, 36 appearances so far since he's joined the Premier League. Absolute machine. And the fact that he's only won one PFA Player of the Year. It's a little bit unfortunate, I think. Probably should have had two. Yeah. I don't know who won it in that Jamie Vardy season.
Was it not Mahrez?
Because Kante won it first season at Chelsea. Fortunate, Mahrez, to win that over N'Golo Kante that first season.
I think Kante might have won Footballer's Player of the Year or whatever. Okay. Was split.
I was going to say.
I thought Vardy won something as well, though. Because do you remember that season? Like, it was like this cascade where everybody at the beginning was like, this Jamie Vardy is pretty good. And then it was like, no. Vardy's not the good one. Mahrez is. Yeah. And then by the end of the season, everyone was like, Kante. Have you heard about this Conte guy? He's unbelievable.
How's he? Well, I also saw he's only been in two Premier League team of the seasons. Of the four seasons that he's completed.
Those team of the years are a bit messed
very
up.
Very unfortunate.
I think Aguero has only been in two.
Yeah, he's been in two, Aguero. Yeah, and he's never won a Player of the Year award either. Which is just
he might win it this year as one of those like sympathy ones.
All right, so Kante's definitely in there. Another central midfielder. Who's bringing somebody to the table?
You guys go.
Have we got the same one, Pat? Have you got Yaya in there?
I haven't.
Oh, wow. Patrick Mastrojan has not selected Yaya Touré. You obsessed with him.
Okay, but to me, this is just a selection of any Man City midfielders you want.
Yes, it is.
100%. I've gone for Fernandinho.
I've gone for Yaya. And then my other one's David Silva.
I've got David Silva in my team as well.
Do you?
I assume
David
Silva...
How can David Silva not be in there?
There's no way David Silva can be in your 4-4-2. That's the issue.
Okay, but you've got Kevin De Bruyne.
Yeah, he's playing alongside Kante at CM.
What the hell
is happening? Yaya's available.
Let me get onto it, but
he's not even in their top three central midfielders.
Well, I just had to get established.
I mean, if we're talking about influential players, and you were talking about Zabaleta being an influential player earlier in that right back role, Yaya Touré is, if not more influential, to that Manchester City transition into Super
League. League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Team.
I agree. In my opinion. I just think De Bruyne's been... I think when De Bruyne retires in 2-3 years...
We're not talking about that.
But he might be even longer. But I think he will go down as one of the best Premier League midfielders of all time.
Do you say when it might be even longer till De Bruyne retires?
How old is he?
2 or 3 years.
What is he, 28?
I think he's like, isn't he like 20? Yeah, but even still, like, you think he's going to retire at 30?
Well,
he'd be like, yeah, fuck this.
But do you not think that this Man City?
But do you not think Yaya is already in the conversation one of the Premier League's greatest midfielders?
I don't really, to be honest.
Yaya's best season is, I'd say Yaya's best season is probably better than De Bruyne's.
Two phenomenal years, but I think after that, I'd go quite a few players above him.
But De Bruyne has had basically like one incredible season at City, right?
Ultra consistent. Like,
how is he? He's been out injured literally the entire time.
Yours, but I'll do.
Go on, you jump in then.
Let's just discuss this generally. Like, go on, make your case for De Bruyne.
Okay, here we go. So, instantly hit the ground running. Came in second most expensive transfer fee in British.
How much was he? 50 odd mil.
55. Mm-hmm. Pogba moved the next year, so it was behind Di Maria at the time. 124 Premier League appearances, 0.63 goal contributions per game across four seasons. Instantly hit the ground running. 16. Goal contributions in his first year, 24 the next year, 24, 4 last year when he was heavily injured. He's already got 10 in 7 games this year. That's 78 goal contributions in 4.25 seasons. In the same period, David Silva, who plays on the wing for a lot of that time, 63. Christian Eriksen has provided 84, but I wasn't going to include him in my team of the year.
But David Silva, overall, this decade, has got 142 goal contributions.
You could actually make a very good case. David Silva. I very strongly considered Frank Lampard, because you can, as I was considering 2009-10, in this period, in the first five seasons of the decade, Lampard contributed 89 goals.
But it's still 40 short of David Silva's contribution in this decade.
Is it?
I've got David Silva's contributed 120 goals in this decade.
I've got 142.
Well, that's differing on the stats already. I don't know how we're going to sort that out. But
that doesn't matter. Like, I mean,
it's not all about goals. I do totally agree.
The fact is, David Silva arrived at like literally in 2010. He's been here for this for exactly the decade, and he's been tremendous pretty much the whole time. And don't get me wrong, I would love not to have put David Silva in, because as good as he is, I've never really had any sort of connection with him as a player. I would love to have put in Ozil, whose best season is better than any season Silva's ever had. I would love to have put in Cazorla or Mata, who have also had individual seasons better than Silva's best ever season. However, Silva's best season and his worst season, there's never been that much difference between them. Mm. He's just been incredibly good the entire time.
I think it does also come down
to, and he's won four titles.
It does also come down to formation, though, because in my 4-4-2,
yeah, it does,
I'm
right.
playing Kante, and I wanted the best creator of the decade, which for me is Kevin De Bruyne, by a distance. Over
of
David Silva
of the decade.
In his peak performance, I don't think anyone comes close to
but that,
and what was
that,
his best goal contribution season?
24.
Yeah, Ozil's was 25.
But
Mata also did 24. Cazorla did 23 from the wing.
Yeah, but he's done two over 20.
Yaya contributed, I think, what is it?
He got
29?
20 goals.
I think 29 goal involvements one season.
Think,
if we're talking about
it
peaks,
more.
It might be more than that. David Silva, just to go back to that point, it was, you're right, Pat, 140 goal contributions this decade.
Mental.
140.
He's played a lot more years than De Bruyne.
But that's fine. Yeah,
that
you can't hold that against
Since
him.
De Bruyne has arrived in the Premier League, he's contributed 15 less. So
he's also been not the key creator in the side. He's also not taken set pieces, which De Bruyne has. He's also been coming to the end of his career. And De Bruyne as well. Like, De Bruyne's only been here a couple of seasons. And one of those seasons, he entirely sat out. He's essentially won one title. Like, since he's been here, because last season he was barely involved.
Well, I will say
David
Silva
has won
as well.
Seventh
most assists in Premier League history at the fastest rate in Premier League history.
Really?
Yeah.
That is an impressive stat. Well, I just think De Bruyne in the last two years, well, actually even in 16-17 when
I'd have
when Cesc finished
ahead
third,
of De Bruyne. I honestly would.
Of the decade. I don't know. I just think De Bruyne has been so unrivaled since he entered the Premier League. For a creative force, for a dribbler. He also puts up over 2.5 tackles and interceptions a game. He's incredibly
well
rounded.
We've got Kante in there, producing eight.
Has he been the best? Like, okay,
I think he has been the best.
I think he is capable of being the best creator, but has he actually been the best creator? Like, if you look at his numbers versus other people's, I don't know.
Well, his best full season, he was creating 3.1 key passes, which is the best, pretty much peak Ozil.
No, it isn't. Ozil created 4.2 at his peak. He was creating 3.5 in like his third or fourth best season at Arsenal.
But
De Bruyne is doing
it. We're not even including
the
Ozil.
Best Premier League
I'm not arguing.
I think if KDB had been here for the entire decade, you'd have a shout.
Yes, of course.
KDB. But he hasn't, and he hasn't had the longevity, the success.
He's the best player in the best team in Premier League history. I think he's got to have a case.
I don't think he is the best player, but he's the most talented, but he hasn't been the most important. I think Eriksen would deserve it ahead of him, like just on the basis of like quantity here.
Numbers.
But what we're seeing, and I think we'll come on to this later, is that you believe very firmly that like
level of
one
quality
or two seasons can get you in if they're of sufficient quality, and I would agree with that. But I think if that's the case, then I'm fucking expecting to see Luis Suarez in your team. And if he isn't in there, then I feel like your argument cannot possibly be consistent.
It doesn't have to be consistent throughout. I agree that longevity can be a factor as well. I just think in this case, I want KDB in there. But you don't have to agree.
Right, anyway.
No, but look, if I was building my favourite team of the decade, half of these bastards wouldn't be in there. Like, I wouldn't put any
I have
of these
also
guys,
done.
I wouldn't put Vertonghen in there, but, you know.
I've gone the other quality choice instead of Luis Suarez, which we'll come on to.
Van Persie. Yes. Excellent. Good team.
Yes,
good
team. I love Van Persie. Very okay, close fair. To my team. But I just think that if David Silva's not in here, I'm walking out. He has to be in this team, David Silva. Has to be, given
It'd
that he joined
so
in 2010 and he is leaving in 2020. The perfect 10-year career. Four Premier League titles, 140 goal contributions in 280 games. It works to perfection. He's averaged 40 appearances every season for 10 years. Mr. Consistent.
And doesn't he already have like 5 or 6 goal involvements this season as well? It's like taking the piss. Like he's not
Bruyne's
actually
got 10.
Yeah, but he's not that. Yeah, but all De Bruyne does is just whip it to the back post. Like David Silva is not the key creator in that side.
As you've
mentioned. And he's still got a ton of goal involvements, yeah, man. And that's him at 33.
No, I'll leave De Bruyne. You
right. But are we saying we need another midfielder?
He
in
took
there?
A year out for a hair transplant. Like he's yeah, still, and he came back elite.
He's a bloody traitor.
Do we need another midfielder in there?
Yeah, you and I
mean, I was talking about Yaya.
We haven't decided on. Well, it depends. We need to settle.
We
on
could
a formation.
Have Yaya, David Silva, and KDB.
Could do.
How?
As a three-man midfield.
Where's what? A no Conte.
Oh shit.
You want to go for a diamond?
Sorry, we could have Conte.
But then we've got to bin all our wingers, and I think you'll
I think
agree
we need
our wingers.
I'm happy to cede KDB.
Okay.
Actually. But yeah, David Silva, like KDB, no
David Silva is in then.
David Silva's in.
David 100%. Silva and Kante. So we need another person in that area.
Yeah, and you and I are debating Toure versus Fernandinho, and then De Bruyne is in that conversation.
Fernandinho
as well.
Cannot be in this team, Pat.
I don't think we need him alongside Kante, to be honest.
But it's not about that. It's about like who deserves to be in there. Like,
and does he deserve to be in there over Yaya
or De Bruyne? I think he's the fourth best of those choices.
I mean, De Bruyne is an embarrassing choice, and you should stop bringing
is
it up.
Is he any more embarrassing than Fernandinho?
No, how? Fernandinho is about. Come on, man.
If Yaya can't get into this side.
Okay, but Yaya has not really... He faded really, really substantially. And also, look,
very true,
I'm the biggest defender of Yaya Toure, but when you look through his goal and assist numbers, there's one season that very clearly stands out. Yeah.
29 like this, goal involved.
Yeah, this was not regular like Frank Lampard hitting 20 every season. This was like, that was very much a standout season where he also took a bunch of pens, I think, and scored a bunch of free kicks, which is amazing, don't get me wrong. But like, there's a reason he didn't do that in every other season. Fernandinho's been at City for 7 years. He's also been a key component in, as we've said, the best team of the Premier League era. Three titles. And also the way his role has changed has been really, really taxing on him, both physically and tactically. Like, I think the tactical intelligence he's shown has been absolutely remarkable. Like, he's now playing centre-back. He played right-back as well before. And when he arrived, he was playing like in that two-man midfield alongside Toure. He was making over six tackles and interceptions a game, 1.5 dribbles, 1.2 key passes. Now he basically plays as the sole real... Well, not now, but last season he was playing as the sole actual midfielder. Like, as much as we can pretend David Silva's a central midfielder and pretend De Bruyne is a central midfielder, they're not. They're only central midfielders if you're Pep Guardiola.
David Silva was a left mid, really, five, 6 years of it.
And De Bruyne as well. Like, to any other manager in the world, he's an attacking mid. He actually played on the wing at Wolfsburg. But because it's Pep, he's like, right, he can play there. And you know why he can play there? Because he's got Fernandinho behind him. And, I mean, playing as the sole centre midfielder, basically, in a team where everyone attacks is absolutely unreal. He was still putting up, like, 4.5 tackles and interceptions in a game in a team that had about 70% of the ball. And he was leading the league in getting the ball into the final third, which is unbelievable as well. And I actually think that this season, the way that City have struggled once he's gone out of the midfield really does demonstrate how great he is. They had their biggest struggles last season when he got injured, and that's when they managed to lose that game to Leicester. Mm. They had a really bad stretch around Christmas. This year, Rodri, do we all agree that Rodri is a good defensive midfielder?
Yeah, 100%.
He's clearly an excellent defensive midfielder. And yet, the quality of Man City's play in the central, in the defensive midfield zone has massively dropped off. Massively. And to me, that just shows that Rodri, as great as he is currently a step down from a 33-year-old Fernandinho.
In the same way, we can talk about like short term. Like, Fernandinho hasn't been that crucial for that long. Like,
He came in and he was absolutely crucial in his first season, which was 13-14, when they won the title, when he played alongside Toure. He and Toure played alongside each other, like, as that kind of pulley midfield. Yeah. You know, like, one went forward, one stayed. One went forward, one stayed. And he's been pretty much vital for the rest of the time.
I just don't think we need a midfield duo of Kante and Fernandinho.
But it's not about that.
Out of town.
It's not about... Can't
we just be more exciting?
It depends what you mean, though. If you're thinking about Fernandinho now,
I think
sure.
A very functional side.
If you're thinking about peak Fernandinho and you've got David Silva in there, I don't think you can complain that much.
Do we need another centre mid? Can we not just play Kante and David Silva?
But then what formation are we playing?
Well, I'm just saying, it wouldn't harm us
then
going
get
four
another
forwards.
Forward
it wouldn't harm us going for four forwards with two in there and then kind of just working around it. Almost a 4-2-4.
Okay, this team would get absolutely destroyed by everyone it plays.
Yes, but it would score so many goals.
But I'm fine with doing this if it means we can get another forward.
I think that Yaya Toure, KDB and Fernandinho all might have to fall by the wayside for the quality of the forwards.
Bloody hell.
Not David Silva, is that what I said?
Well, no,
David
Silva
and Kante, I think, are the only two candidates that can play in there. And then it gives us other options.
Let's carry on then and see where we end up. Because if we can get in another forward,
what about James Milner?
I think James Milner deserves a shout.
Underrated player of the decade shout, James Milner, definitely.
Best value transfer in Premier League history shout.
Yeah, again, another good shout.
I mean, 5 mil for Kante, though then you sell him for 30.
Mm. And then you got a season out of him.
Mm. Right, so where should we go to now? We're going to our forward line.
So we're just saying forward. So any of these players can play any role,
right,
should we say?
Can I go with my left winger?
No, let's go with the guy we've all agreed on.
Yes, Sergio Aguero, obviously. Aguero, yeah. there's no debate, is there? Joined at the start of the decade, will finish the decade at Manchester City as well. I think his goal contributions are by far the best of anybody across the course of the decade.
He's got the best. Doesn't he have the best goals per minute rate in Premier League history? Like minimum, like 30 goals. I think it goes Aguero, Aubameyang, and then it might be Henry.
I was looking at his goal involvements today. He's gone 31, 14, which was a bit of a dip. Then 23, 34, 26, 23, 27, 29. Jesus so Christ. He would just consistency and the sheer fact he has been the best striker of the decade, he has to go in. So we've got Aguero as one of the four. We have three roles to fill. And what, six names between us to get in there?
Probably.
Okay.
Might have a bit of crossover.
I'm going to chuck one out, which I feel like nobody's going to argue with, which is Eden Hazard.
Yeah.
He goes straight
in. Eden Hazard straight in there, 100%. Has to be.
Okay, good.
Best dribbler in probably Premier League history, I'd argue.
Ooh, Cristiano.
Never dropped below 3.7 dribbles per 90. 6.1 was his peak in 17-18. Cristiano Ronaldo.
Buffal.
Cristiano Ronaldo is a very good...
Seb
argument,
Larson,
actually.
How about him?
He didn't dribble much. He just focused on dead balls.
I haven't got his stats, but I bet you KDB, Cristiano Ronaldo, towards the back end of his Man United career, was literally just dribbling past entire teams.
It was probably obscene.
Yeah, fine. I think those two.
If he just took the stats from his Arsenal games and he didn't dribble for the rest of the season, he'd match Hazard's rate.
Yeah, I mean, talk about back to Hazard, though. Key passes per 90, never dropped below 2.6. Yeah. Shots only once fell below two, which was in his poor season. And also, people say that he was inconsistent at Chelsea.
He wasn't.
His goal contributions went 20, 21, 23, 15, 16, which was his poor year.
That was when he was called the rat by Mourinho, wasn't it?
Then 21, 16, 31.
What?
So consistent.
Yeah, though I'd say a much bigger knock on him is the pen thing. Like, a lot of those were pens. That's the biggest thing. Like, if you take out pens, then I think you're looking at a guy who basically contributes about 15 goals a season, which actually is like surprisingly low. Yeah. But he does so much other stuff.
And also, I don't have it in front of me, but I always think he was always a better assister than a goal scorer, really. I can't remember that.
Well, last season it was like three key passes.
I think it was 16 goals and 15 assists, but generally I think it was his assists that were more impressive than his goals. So I don't think his penalties should necessarily be held against him.
And also, he has like... played under what, 10 managers across that?
About nine.
Nine managers, something like that, in about eight different systems.
Yeah.
Which is not a mean feat
do. He joined Di Matteo.
Yeah, like he's had to play in so many different like roles in that Chelsea side. He's had so much problem with players just keying on him and just going, I'm just going to stick on Hazard.
It shouldn't really be done on who's the most fun to watch, but he probably has been the most fun player to watch in the decade. In like just pure aesthetics. I just thought there was nothing like him when he was
all right, so he's in.
Maybe.
Aguero's in. I'm making a case for Wayne Rooney.
Okay.
I'm making a case for Wayne Rooney.
This day would come.
If we've got this extra space.
As a forward.
Oh, this is complicated because I didn't bank on us having this extra slot.
As a forward, like, can it be argued with Wayne Rooney? I know that how can it be argued?
Because people are going to say Kane. People are going to say Van Persie. People will say Suarez. People will say... No, I was
but
going to say
Rooney,
Salah, but only a fucking idiot would say that.
Suarez, potentially, but again, didn't do it for long enough for me.
I agree.
I think Van Persie is the only person that could rival Rooney for this other striking slot.
But that, again, too,
because
enough.
Kane has not done it for long enough.
Kane technically has more seasons.
Yeah, exactly.
He has more seasons of elite goal scoring this decade than Van Persie.
When did he start? 2015?
14-15.
And then he's gone, what, 20, like 25 upwards every single season?
Yeah. Except for last season.
So Kane, yeah, except for last season.
But then
season,
Van Persie
very
had like,
consistent.
He had what? He had 30 or 31 for us, and then he had like upper 20s for you. But I think that was kind of it.
So there are arguments to be made for Harry Kane. But then you've got to look at Wayne Rooney in context that he was dropped further and further back by managers... across his career. At one stage, he was playing central midfield.
I'm happy to put Rooney. I love Wayne Rooney.
And even if you look at his numbers in terms of goal involvements this decade, he went 29, 22, 31, 22, 27. And then when he started to drop back, 17, 10, and finished with 12 at Everton, which I just didn't realise happened. He must have taken every penalty in every game. How can Rooney not be in this decade team?
I think maybe it's just sort of back of my head that his best period was 2007-08 to 2011-12. But by those numbers, it doesn't actually work out.
Rooney's a victim of being like a mid-decade starter. Like if he had started his career 5 years later or 5 years earlier, he would have guaranteed been there in either noughties or tens.
I counted up his goals and assists just since the 2010-11 season. He's got 155 Premier League goals and assists. Which means that even if you average it across all 10 years, given that he hasn't played across 15. All 10, it's like 15 to 16 goal involvements every season.
And
which is crazy.
And at least three of those seasons were playing as like an attacking mid-central midfielder for Everton and United.
But then Van Persie's second... So he only dropped below 15 twice this decade. And that was in his last 2 years at United where he got 15 goals, and 12 goals, 3 assists and 10 goals.
But those Rooney numbers would be spread across 10 years.
Yeah, I'm counting that across 10 years.
If you spread that Van Persie one equally across 10, it would probably be...
I just think Van Persie's got a really good case. I mean, 2009-10, it was 9 goals, 7 assists in 16 games. The following year, 18 goals, 7 assists in 25 games. So a goal a game, pretty much. 30 goals, 10 assists in 2011-12 in 38 games. 26 goals and 9 assists when he joined United in 38.
But then that's
games.
Basically kind of it.
But then that's it.
Well, then he gets 15 goals and assists. He gets 27 over the next two season goals.
So it's done.
And then it's done.
But he does have a shout in the
in
11-12
really.
And 12-13. I think he was probably back to back the best player in the league.
Yeah, I mean,
2 seasons.
11-12, 30 goals and 10 assists, and Arsenal finished third. We talked about it in the office earlier. How do you finish 19 points behind Man City and? Well, they just had a terrible
Van Persie's a great shout. Who are the other shouts we've got on this in this band of two options?
I've got Sterling.
Oh, I'm not sure on that. I'm not sure on that.
I mean, the thing is...
Really peaking now, but...
Yeah, but he in 12-13, he was a regular starter for Liverpool.
Goal contributor.
He started that season at 17. No, he only got like 4 goals that season, 4 goals and assists. But he's basically played 8 out of 10 seasons this decade, which is pretty good. And even in that first season, 2.4 dribbles, 2 key passes. Started that as a 17-year-old. And since then, in 233 Premier League appearances this decade, he's got 115 goal involvements. So 1 every 2 games in that time. Which again,
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Is pretty damn good.
It is like, incredible, yeah.
Helped Liverpool go to the brink of the title when he was 19. Then he kind of had to carry them when they were absolutely dreadful after Suarez left.
Yeah.
And if you want to talk about level, like the peak they've hit, like Rooney was very, very consistent. Like,
Rooney
the whole
hit
time.
Bigger peaks than Sterling.
Rooney was very consistent that whole decade, but like since 2010... How many seasons was he one of the best players in the world? Maybe one.
But Sterling's only been maybe one.
I'd say maybe two, probably the last two. And you yourself, not to quote you at you, but who said on Twitter that Raheem Sterling is the best winger in the world?
Yeah, I think he's at the moment, but not...
Yeah, but was there any point... Was there any point in the last 10 years where you'd have said Rooney was the best in his position
in
the world?
2009-10, he was very close. And I think it's also harder to be the best striker than the best winger.
I think that's probably true. But we also are saying, well, he played left wing. He played attacking mid. Like, he played all over the place. And yeah. I don't think he was the best in any of those positions either.
It's a great point. But I just think that Rooney's peak is higher than Sterling.
Also,
so far, I think Sterling might... You never know. Sterling might eclipse him. But we can't predict a future decade.
Here's the other thing, though. If we want to talk about trophies... Like, Sterling won 2 titles this decade. Did Rooney won 2?
Rooney won 2, I think, yeah.
Yeah, so what, 10-11 and 12-13?
Mm. Yeah, 2 Premier League titles.
So pretty much the same on that front. I don't know. I think he merits consideration. Like, because if we're saying, okay, well, you can't knock a guy by saying, like, oh, well, he was old at the end of this decade. Similarly, I don't think you can knock Sterling by saying he was really young at the beginning of this decade. And actually, even when he was really young, he already looked like a good talent. Like, not just a good talent, but a good contributor. He got like 1,800 minutes when he was 17, 18 for Liverpool.
True. Have you got another name that's in contention for this other slot?
I do. And it's
this is so controlled.
I think this is probably the worst shout.
That's the ultimate argument for quality over longevity. But I think it's worth bringing up. And I was a bit concerned when we were talking about who we were going to bring to the table yesterday that we're all going to say similar names. So I was trying to maybe be a bit controversial. But I think Mo Salah deserves a bit of a hearing.
This is me throwing my hat on the floor. Absolutely disgraceful.
So by the end of this decade, he would have played 3 seasons, which is only too short. Which is only too short of what Rooney would have played.
No,
3 short of what Rooney would have played. Okay, bear with me though. So since he's
arrived, Rooney played 7 seasons this decade.
More importantly, it's under a third of the decade. Yeah. Like in those 3 seasons, you need to be like Messi level.
Can we hear the quality argument?
We'll allow it.
It's been 79 goal contributions in 82 games since he joined. In the same period, Aguero 50 goals and 16 assists in 66 games. And if he is a guarantee, I don't see why Salah. I know Aguero's done it for longer in the decade.
That's the reason.
Did you say what were?
So Aguero's 50 goals and 16 assists in 66.
So Aguero's got a better goals to game ratio.
Yeah, but
my argument was that
he's a guarantee.
Because he's also done it for another 7 years.
But if he's a guarantee, I think Salah deserves a hearing.
No, because we're not going since Salah joined. We're not saying like Aguero's been one of the best players in the league since Mo Salah came to the country.
17-18 was really when Raheem Sterling really hit top level into this conversation of you're potentially one of the best wingers in the world.
But he was already good before that.
He was
still good before that, whereas Mo Salah was in Italy before that.
Not doing very well.
He was pretty good in Italy, but he was in Italy.
I'm not holding that against him. But since he's come to the Premier League,
he wasn't in the Premier
42
League.
Goal contributions in 36 games in 17-18. The most Rooney ever managed in a season, single season was 31. Kane in a single season, 36. Robin van Persie, 40. Luis Suarez in that incredible year, 42. Salah matched that in his first year. He also scored 32 goals in 17-18, the best in Premier League history. That was an unbelievable season and merits to even be talked about in the discussion.
Here's the thing. Do you think that Salah's first season in the Prem was better than Suarez's last season in the Prem? Because I 100% do not.
That's a really tough one,
very
actually.
Very tight. I actually think it's
really tight. I think Salah had a much better side.
But we don't consider Suarez for this.
We didn't, but I nearly did, to be fair.
You're a madman.
But I think if we're making the quality argument, I'd be much more amenable to the Suarez argument because I think that season was better.
Don't get me wrong. I think
he was in
Salah
a much worse side as well, Suarez. That team was good because of him. Salah was in a good team.
If Salah had joined 2015 and had 2 extra seasons at this level, 100%, I think he's a candidate. But it's just not been long enough.
Yeah. It was a bit rogue, but I just thought
I saw a lot of people saying it on Twitter as well, that Salah, purely because of that season, deserves a shout.
I'd argue...
Back-to-back Golden Boots as well.
But I feel like Kane would deserve the place over Salah, if I'm honest, just because of quantity as well.
Yeah. And he did that. Was Kane's incredible year 16-17 when it was like 42 goals and 46 games in the calendar year or something?
Kane was genuinely unbelievable a couple of seasons ago, and now he's still very good to excellent.
Yeah.
But like that, he still puts up really, really good goals and assist numbers, despite the fact that he's clearly declined from what was his best.
And another caveat I need to put out before you all abuse me on Twitter: I was playing 4-4-2, so he was my right mid, and it was a pretty good option, I thought.
It's not terrible, but he
wasn't playing mid though. Yeah. Hazard played as a right mid. We need to decide
on these last two positions. So we've got 2-3 forward roles.
So at the moment, we've got Hazard playing on the left. Aguero is one of the central strikers. In the mix, we've got RVP, Rooney, Sterling and Salah.
Four players for those two roles.
I think Rooney has to probably get one.
I think Rooney has to get one of them.
Van Persie?
Who are you offering against Rooney here?
Van Persie as the striker. And then I think in order for the team to work, we could play Rooney on the right wing, but it'd just be a bit weird.
Well, no, we could play him in the hole and we can do like a 4-2-3-1 type thing.
And he could play Silva slightly white. I don't know. Yeah. Oh, this is impossible,
I mean, but it's good options. I think Rooney and RVP are ahead of Sterling and definitely ahead of Salah.
I would probably go Rooney, Sterling, RVP, Salah.
Really?
I would go Rooney, RVP, Sterling. Okay, so we're agreed on Rooney then.
Rooney and RVP is the top two.
And so then, okay, well then if you guys are going both RVP over Sterling, so we're putting in Rooney, RVP.
Yeah. Oh, this is going to get so much abuse on Twitter.
This is a fucking weird formation.
Yeah, it doesn't really work.
It kind of does.
We can play.
We can
Rooney
sort it out.
And
Rooney in the hole.
Bearing in mind that
we've
got Silva in the midfield. This is
very very narrow.
suddenly Doogie's idea of like this team would be laughed at has gone way out the window because we're playing like six attackers.
Henry,
who's producing this, has just shown me a photo of Jamie Vardy for consideration. I just absolutely disgraceful.
I actually saw a few websites online were including.
If Kane can't get in this team, then Vardy definitely can't.
Kane does deserve a mention. Kane, he did have a phenomenal 4 years.
I think Kane, Sterling, Suarez and Salah, unfortunate candidates.
I'd seriously consider Kane over Van Persie here. And that pain, you can imagine how that pains
God.
Me to say, but just...
I think that's cracking.
Now we're panicking.
But the contribution this decade, like Van Persie just has three great seasons and then one okay season.
Van Persie's at...
And that's
Kane's at five.
Yeah.
Four, five.
Mm. Like...
Oh, God.
Genuinely...
Yeah. Are we making a last-minute switch, Kane, for RVP here?
I'm very happy with it at the moment, but if you guys want to change
it depends. Like the candidates for those positions then are Salah, Sterling,
I am
Kane.
Also currently holding the pen, so I feel like I have the most power.
RVP, well, just because you're making your own list. We can all make our own list, dude.
I mean, Joe, what's your final thoughts on Kane in?
I think we stick
RVP.
With that. I think we're in danger of being jaded because we've watched, like... In recent memory, that's what we're like.
We're basically playing. We're not really playing even
4-1-5.
Yeah, we're playing like a 4-1-1-4.
But let's not forget, Rooney can drop in and do any dirty work he wants.
But he won't.
No, he won't. You're right. Okay. And he should never have been playing in their league. So,
don't
know
put
it.
Arrows in. Diggy's like joining like.
I'm doing formation.
You're doing
like
Spielverlagerung like arrows. Oh, yeah, God. Like Kante's apparently going to drop into the back line.
All right, Doogie, read out the team we've gone for.
So in goal, David De Gea, left back, Azpilicueta, Kompany, Terry and Walker. It's actually pretty uncontroversial back four, except for Zabaleta had a shout. In midfield, as our holding player, we've gone for Kante. Then playing behind sort of combination of forwards, we've got Hazard playing on the left. We've got Rooney in the hole. We've got Silva on the right, maybe, and RVP and Aguero up front. I think probably makes the most sense from a tactical formation. But yeah, let us know what you guys think of our list on Twitter and what you guys would change about that. There's going to be a lot of angry Spurs fans probably that Eriksen didn't get that much of a shout and Kane didn't get in. But otherwise, I think it's actually quite uncontroversial, at least the back five.
Yeah there's definitely going to be some shit taken for this.
Yeah, I've got to be honest, like, despite the fact that we've argued it through, I'm not happy at all with the team.
Really?
Somehow something about it is like,
it's because it
really
doesn't work. It doesn't look right.
Should we just, I'm just going to throw this up, last minute.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Who manages it?
Oh,
for the decade?
Pep, probably.
Can't be Fergie, because he only got three years out.
I'm tempted to go Pochettino.
I'll get in the bin.
No.
I'm tempted to go Pochettino.
Henry's nodding. It's got to be Pep. How can it not be Pep?
It's got to be Pep.
Because he hasn't been
love
here
this
that
team.
Long.
How long's Pep been there? 4 years.
He finished, where did they finish? Fourth in his first season?
He was third, first.
So third, first. And you're saying that merits being manager of the decade.
And what's Poch gone?
What's
Poch? Poch has taken a team that were a mid-table side being managed by Tim Sherwood.
What have I done?
He got them to cusp of Champions League.
There will be riots
it's about longevity as well as quality.
But if you're talking about that, how has Klopp not done that and to better levels?
Klopp's got way more of a shout than Pep.
Has he?
Yes, though you could also argue that Klopp in his first season finished eighth. So, and also what has he won as well? Like,
oh God, what have I done here?
Yeah,
it's difficult.
There's not that many.
Pellegrini.
Not that many choices.
Get him in.
People might
say.
What are
you going to say? Conte. Oh, Douglas.
People Dyche. Might say, I don't think so.
Ranieri.
I'm very happy with Pep.
Wenger.
Could be Ranieri, you know.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
No,
no
jokes.
Couldn't.
The manager of
no, it could
managerial
not.
Achievement.
Yeah, especially that one with Fulham, last year. That was a good one for him.
We can't pick the manager, so why don't you select the manager on Twitter and tweet it to us?
Yeah.
At Football Allardyce. Daily, and we'll try and respond to as many as possible.
You know what? Allardyce probably deserves a shout. The number of teams he saved from relegation.
Yeah, I'm eternally grateful.
No.
Also,
actually, I remembered he managed Sunderland. No, take him out.
Also, rude. Write out your team of the decade as well. Plot it out using whatever graphics or just type it out you want to do, and then send that to us as well on Twitter, and we'll retweet some of the ones that are in with a shout. Any ridiculous ones probably won't get retweeted.
Probably makes more sense than ours as well.
Yeah, I think ours makes perfectly good sense. But what do you guys at home think? Send us your abuse. Either way, anything else to plug before we leave the studio?
I think we're good.
No, that was good. I enjoyed that.
Yeah, me too. Make sure you've watched Sunday Vibes if you are just listening to the Extra Time podcast. Thanks very much for watching. Alfie Dezane.
Bye.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Leagues Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning Leagues Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting 3 matches at lower.com field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at columbuscrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. Leagues Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.